There is a kind of love that our world understands easily. Love for those who love us back. Love for those who look like us, think like us, strengthen our status, or confirm our righteousness. And then there is the love of God. The love of God is different. It is countercultural. It is what Scripture calls compassion. Compassion literally means suffering with. Not pity from a safe distance, not charity that preserves hierarchy, but suffering with. Entering into the pain, the shame, the rejection of another. And this is precisely the path that Jesus chooses again and again in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus consistently takes what we might call a path of downward mobility. He moves toward the poor, toward the unclean, toward the outsider, toward the sinner. He does not protect his status, he risks it. He does not insulate himself from contamination, Jesus touches it. In Luke chapter 7, we see this very clearly. Jesus has been invited into the home of Simon the Pharisee. This is significant. The Pharisee, a Pharisee, is a respected religious leader in that time. This is an opportunity for Jesus to strengthen his own standing, to engage in serious theological conversation, and to gain influence. And then everything is interrupted. An unnamed woman enters. Luke describes her only as a sinner in the city. She is uninvited. She brings no credentials. She says nothing. She kneels behind Jesus at his feet, and she weeps. Her tears fall onto Jesus' feet. She wipes them away with her hair. She kisses them. She anoints them with costly perfume. It is an act of extravagant love. Some have seen this moment as an anticipation of Jesus' death, an anointing for his burial, a quiet coronation of the true king, the Messiah. Others point out the contrast. This sinful woman shows deeper hospitality than the religious host. In a culture where washing a guest's feet was a basic act of welcome, Simon has failed. The woman fulfills what the host neglected. I'm going to pause for a minute to say that I really thought deeply about what this would translate to in our culture. And I think the closest thing is, when someone comes to your house, what do you do? You welcome them and you offer them something to drink, usually, right? A glass of water, you know, maybe you're like, oh, I don't have much. I might have some tea or something, right? Like, you come up with something to give the person. And have you ever been to a gathering where you come in and you're not offered something to drink, or maybe another guest, like you are, and then some other guest shows up and the host or hostess is busy, and what do you do? You might quietly judge, or I'm looking at Deacon Jennifer Schneider, who's out in the, you know what she would do? She would offer them a drink for the host. Wouldn't she? Andrea's nodding her head, because Jennifer's been to my house before when she's, like, we were at a women's clergy gathering, and that happened, that I got busy because there were like 20 or 30 people there, and so other people were, you know, tagging in and being welcoming. So that's what's happening here, is Simon has forgotten to welcome Jesus the way that is culturally polite or appropriate. And this is a culture where that really made a difference. You were supposed to help the person wash off their feet because it was dirty and dusty out there. And if you don't wash your feet before you enter someone's house, what happens? You get dirt and dust everywhere, which is why a lot of us here in the upper Midwest in particular have people remove their shoes when they enter, because there's snow outside and you're going to track the snow inside, and then it melts and then everyone's slipping all over the place and it's dirty, right? So this was something that people reading this would have, or hearing the story would have understood. The small detail in Luke's telling of this story is one that we must not miss. Simon does not object out loud to this woman's actions. Did you catch that? He objects to himself, okay? If this man were a prophet, he thinks, he would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him and that she is a sinner. Only Luke tells us that Simon's protest is silent. You see, in the other Gospels, the objections are spoken out loud. But here, in the Gospel of Luke, it's not said out loud. It is said quietly in judgment in his heart. That matters. When the aged Simeon held the infant Jesus in the temple, he prophesied that this child would reveal the thoughts of many hearts. Here in Simon's dining room, that prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus answers a question that was never spoken out loud. Jesus says, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Jesus knows not only who this woman is, he knows who Simon is. He knows the woman's shame and he knows Simon's pride. Jesus knows her tears and Jesus knows Simon's silent judgment. And Jesus tells a story. Two people owe money to a creditor. One owes much, the other owes little. Neither can repay. The creditor cancels both debts. Which one will love more? Simon answers correctly, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus says, "You have judged rightly." But then Jesus turns the room upside down. He asks, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has bathed them with her tears. You gave me no kiss. She has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head. She has anointed my feet. Her many sins have been forgiven, therefore she has loved much." Simon's problem is not merely that he doubts Jesus' prophetic identity. His problem is that he does not recognize himself in the story. He does not see his own debt. He believes he owes little, and those who believe they owe little love little. The woman, on the other hand, knows her need. She knows her debt. She knows her own brokenness, and because she knows it, she knows the magnitude of mercy. Here is the good news here. The kingdom of God is not built on moral superiority. It is built on forgiven sinners who know that they are forgiven. Jesus' compassion, his suffering with, brings him into contact with those whom society rejects. And that compassion threatens those in power. Because if God is suffering with the outcast, then the boundaries that protect status and privilege begin to crumble. Simon is at a crossroads. Luke lets us hear his inner monologue because he wants us to recognize our own inner monologue. How often do we object to ourselves? Quietly judging the other person, whether it's for not offering a glass of water to a guest or something bigger. I imagine it happens pretty often. We may not say it out loud, but inside we think, if God really knew who they were, if this person were truly spiritual, or if I were in charge. And Jesus says to us, as he says to Simon, "I have something to say to you." Luke uses that internal monologue carefully. In Scripture, what one says in the heart reveals wisdom or it reveals foolishness. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." The proud bless themselves in their own hearts. And here, Simon judges in his heart. But the woman does not speak in her heart. She pours out her heart in love. And this is the invitation of the gospel, to transform our inner monologues into dialogue with God. Instead of rehearsing judgment, we confess need. Instead of calculating status, we receive mercy. Instead of distancing ourselves from so-called sinners, we remember we are the forgiven ones. As are they. It goes back to the Old Testament. We should take care of the log in our own eye before we examine the speck in another. Love for God and love for neighbor are inseparable. The woman loves Jesus lavishly because she has experienced forgiveness, and her love for God expresses itself physically, humbly, vulnerably. Jesus' downward path will continue. From this dining room, he will move to the cross. The anointing at his feet foreshadows the suffering he will embrace. The king will be crowned not with gold, but with thorns. The one who suffers with sinners will suffer for them. This is the heart of the good news. God does not remain distant. In Jesus, God enters our shame, our debt, our mess. He allows himself to be touched by the unclean. He allows his reputation to be questioned. He takes the lowest place. And in doing so, he reveals the thoughts of our hearts. Will we cling to quiet judgment, or will we kneel in grateful love? The woman leaves with these words, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Simon's ending is left open, and so is ours. What do we say in our hearts? If we are honest, we are both people in this story. We are Simon when we guard our status and judge silently, and we are the woman when we recognize our need to cling to mercy. The good news is that Jesus addresses both. To the self-righteous heart, he offers truth. To the broken heart, he offers peace. And to both, he offers himself in sacrificial love. And as we turn our inner speech into prayer, as we let Jesus interrupt our silent judgments, we begin to walk the same downward path of love. Compassion, suffering with, love that crosses boundaries, love that risks reputation, love that flows from forgiven hearts. May we be a people who live much, because we know how much we have been loved. Amen. And now we sing our hymn of the day together.